I want you to bear with me for a moment, and I'm sure you've already turned up the next hymn or you've put your hymn books to one side, and I'm going to ask you to look up hymn number 198. Hymn number 198. Let us build a house. 198. I'm just going to ask Willie to give me a note so that I sing vaguely. We're just going to sing the first verse together. Let us build a house where love can dwell, and all can safely live. A place where saints and children tell our hearts learn to forgive. Built of hope. Just before noon on Saturday the 25th of April 2015 was when the first earthquake struck Nepal. It lasted just over 45 seconds, causing devastation and changing lives forever. In 45 seconds, over 8,000 people lost their lives and over 6 million families lost their homes. 45 seconds is the time it takes to sing a verse of the hymn, Let Us Build a House. This morning, we continue our stewardship theme of time, and particularly this month, we are thinking about time for others. Some, earlier in this year, offered some of their time as part of our thoughts on time for the church. And during this week, I know that they've been busy decorating the back room across at the hall, preparing it for a makeover. Later in the year, there will be a focus on time for ourselves, and the stewardship team have some ideas of how we might explore that element of time as a congregation. However, this morning we begin our focus on time for others, and to sharpen our focus, the stewardship team are encouraging us to take part in the Church of Scotland World Mission Project, which is inviting congregations to raise £500 to help build new homes for the people of Nepal. Within Dunfermline Presbytery, a number of congregations have taken up the challenge to find creative ways to raise money for the cause, and there's no restriction on how much money congregations may be able to raise. As I said earlier in the intimations, you will find members of the stewardship team ready with pens and a picture of a house to encourage you to think of those who live on other shores. These efforts are part of a three-year development plan that the World Mission Council have initiated following the earthquakes, and they arise from discussion at last year's General Assembly and conversation with local parties in the Dading area of Nepal. This year, the Council has committed to the United Mission to Nepal the equivalent cost of 50 houses, one for each presbytery and a couple more. Next year, the United Mission will continue to work with communities, building houses and developing the areas around them with footpaths, bridges and community buildings. In 2017-18, it's hoped that interested people from congregations might visit Nepal to see those who have been directly affected by the earthquake and to bring back stories for sharing with congregations. Perhaps these stories will offer a vision of how the Church of Christ continues to grow and change, accommodating outcast, stranger and friend. In the weeks after Easter, in our use of the lectionary readings, we've been encountering the story of the early church as we read from the book of Acts. The lectionary encourages a movement from the Old Testament to these readings from Acts, so that we grasp a sense of what Jesus' followers did in the days, months, and years after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. Those who were at the first service last week, at the 9:30 service last week, heard the story of Peter's strange dream, which we'd encourage him to see that the stories of Jesus were not simply for those of Jewish descent or conversion, but instead for all. Our experience of dreams and visions within biblical literature is that these are usually significant moments when faithful followers are encouraged by an inspiring inner spirit to step out into new territory of faith. Moses had a vision of a burning bush that inspired him to lead a nation out of Egypt. Joseph dreams of playing a significant role in the life of his family, but he also interprets the dreams of others, dreams which tell of their downfall or future concerns. In our reading in the book of Acts, Paul's vision of a man weeping in Macedonia takes the church into Europe. It's a story of how the movement of Christian faith could not be limited as people found themselves engaged by the stories. They were being told of God's love, found and shared in the presence of Jesus Christ. But it's not a man that Paul and his fellow travellers meet first when they arrive in Philippi. Instead, it's an independent woman called Lydia. As a Roman province, Macedonia had no temple, and instead Jewish worshippers gathered by a river for worship. It would seem that while Lydia was not a Jew, she was someone who believed and worshipped God, as found in Jewish scripture. Paul, while a Jew, was also a Roman citizen, and as a man was offered the opportunity to preach to this gathering of Jews. In what Paul says, Lydia finds her way into the presence of Christ, and in discussion with Paul, she makes the bold step to have herself and her household baptized. Having been welcomed into faith by Paul, Lydia then seeks to make Paul welcome and persuades him and those with him to stay with her for a while. Over the next wee while, and I don't mean just this morning, I hope I'm not going to bore you with hospitality, the offering of a welcome. However, out of the time I spent on study leave and reflecting on a variety of different experiences of church communities in recent years, what hospitality is, how we experience it, how we offer it, and what it might inspire within us as a community have become continuing threads of thought for me. The gospel reading perhaps doesn't seem to offer something to say about hospitality and welcome. And yet, if we consider the emotions that would follow in the days following Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, then we will know that the disciples and those with them struggled to find a place of welcome, a home for their emotions and for their experiences. In the conversation we heard from the Gospel of John today, Jesus offers them a home, a place for their emotions, and an impetus for the telling of his story. In offering the assurance that an advocate, a counsellor will be with them, Jesus invites the disciples to rest in the close relationship that God shares with Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes into the world with comforting, overlapping purpose, reminding those who believe of the home for their cares and concerns, and teaching and renewing them for the purpose of service in the world today. Declaring the Holy Spirit to be with God's people takes us back to the Spirit of God in action at creation, as God makes a place for us to dwell and welcomes us into life shared with him. For our world today, offering hospitality tends to be something that we do for friends. we invite folk round for a cup of coffee or perhaps a meal. However, in the biblical world, in the ancient world, hospitality is offered to the stranger. Christian welcome was not just extended to the wealthy stranger, but the stranger in every guise of need. The pilgrim, the poor, the sick, the outcast, the criminal, the refugee. These encounters with the stranger were moments of learning and growth for the early church. In being prepared to meet Christ in the other, their own experiences of life were stretched and their abilities for compassion, stewardship and spiritual growth were extended by the encounter with the unknown. A Benedictine abbey like the one that Margaret of Scotland founded on this site would have had at the heart of its practice an obligation to follow the rule of Benedict, which includes a chapter on hospitality for the strangers. That chapter begins, "All guests who present themselves are to be welcomed as Christ, for he himself will say, I was a stranger and you welcomed me." It goes on to read, "Great care and concern are to be shown in receiving poor people and pilgrims, because in them more particularly Christ is received." In many ways, the activity of welcoming tourists echoes that ancient tradition of hospitality. But Christian hospitality runs deeper than passing on the history of the building and the tradition and sharing the odd cup of tea. In the book And You Welcomed Me by Amy G. Oden, she writes, "Hospitality does not entail helping another so much as immersing oneself in a new reality, entering into a new relationship with one who before was unknown or unappreciated." Like Lydia, we should be prepared to be changed by our experiences of others. So changed that it might turn our lives in a different direction. So changed that we might want to walk back to the water and remind ourselves of our baptism that calls us to a new way of life. So changed that we always walk towards the Creator. Perhaps today or this month, as we contribute to Nepal, we'll take time to go and find out more about the stranger in the midst of our stewardship and be changed by our growing knowledge of another land. Perhaps as we shared a welcome earlier with those round about us, our interest will have been sparked in a new friendship, a new relationship that will stretch and grow our experiences of faith in this place and beyond. Perhaps we will recognise that time for others is more than money in a jar or a chat over a cup of tea, but instead God's creative intention to spur us on towards a Christ-like attitude, an attitude that offers compassion and care to those who are in need of our help, only then to find that it was us who needed the comforting Spirit of God and that we have been changed. Amen.